thinking about judgment, the word, and how it applies, it seems like it has many facets or many sides to it. One facet might look like God's judgment to us. Another facet might look like human judgment. And then another could look like judgmentalness. But all of these interface, and that's what we're beginning to understand and what we want to look at today. If someone has, for example, a belief in a judgmental God, or have the feeling that they live in a judgmental universe, then there's probably some fear involved in the subject of judgment. Because inherent within the belief is the feeling of an uncertain future. In other words, what might happen after the judgment? That there might be some sort of punishment. Feeling is like, here's this judgment, and the judgment is something bad, something condemning. And many a sermon has been preached on this subject. I don't know if you've been around when there's been any of that going on, but I certainly have. And if one is preaching from the standpoint or from the belief that there's an angry, spiteful, jealous, condemning, punishing, and sometimes rewarding God, then that's powerful stuff for someone to hear, that judgment is coming. And it can strike fear in people's hearts. And actually, I think that's the preacher's intention, to scare the hell out of the congregation, you know? And there's this old scenario. All kinds of stories, of course. Funny jokes about meeting St. Peter at the Golden Gate, right? And that can seem scary to people if they think of it in a literal sense. Or in a more updated scenario, some even have a concept that it isn't just St. Peter, but it's a karmic board, if you will, that's going to be judging what's happening. And that can stir up, if not fear, certainly anxiety, because there's always that possibility of coming up short, of not knowing what the rules were, and or maybe the rules were changed somewhere along the way, and so on. Anyway, we've been challenging each other to relook at our God beliefs and make sure that they're not secondhand beliefs that have been handed down to us by someone else, someone that it fit for them and their time, or a belief that was spoon-fed to us by someone else and may not be serving us now in our questioning and unbelief, is affecting absolutely every aspect of our life right now. It's affecting our physical well-being. It's affecting our financial well-being. It's affecting our relationships and how we relate. It affects our view of the past, our past, and it affects our concerns about the future. When I was new to Unity, even though I had never been able to accept the God belief that was presented to me in the church that I went to, I still hadn't found something to lay hold of that could answer some questions for me, give me insights. And so Unity's teaching of God as principle really became helpful to me, because I could understand that there is no punishment in principle. Principle never punishes. For example, the principle of mathematics, the principle of electricity or gravity or any other thing that we can think of, that never punishes us. When we get results that we don't like, it's because we don't understand principle, or we're trying to work against principle. If you stick your finger in a socket, the principle of electricity is not punishing you. And when you plug in an appliance to the socket, the principle isn't rewarding you. And so life is similar. Life in the larger sense is similar. And so taking that idea and working with it in my life made a huge difference in how I began to see my life and what was happening in my life, and how I saw things that were happening in others' lives and things that were happening in the world around me. It didn't make me indifferent to it, but it helped me remember that things are not always the way they appear at first glance. There's more to the story. It's similar to a recent suggestion. Actually, this came out of Buckminster Fuller's writings, but it's now mine, so you know how we are as speakers? First time we give credit. Second time we say, as someone said. Third time we say, as I always say. So, as I always say, think more in terms of God, the word God, not as a name or a noun, but as a verb. And begin to see how this works. And for me, I begin to see present moment judgment and future judgment in a different way. And that's what this lesson is about. And there's freedom in that. There's great freedom in that. There's freedom from fear that might be attached to something, the judgment of something that we've done or not done in the past, and as well as fear of some possible future judgment. And for me, that's practical. And as I like to say, that pays the rent. In other words, it's usable. So, what is judgment? The word judgment, according to the dictionary, means a decision or an opinion. Now, applications of judgment are things like a judicial decision, and then there's a judgment call made by, let's say, a referee or an umpire. But it all goes back to decision or choice. And judgment always is that. In the Revealing Word, which is Unity's Book of Metaphysical Definitions, it says judgment is mental act of evaluation through comparison and contrast. So there's nothing wrong with judgment when it's seen as contrast. And so, as it says, spiritual discernment, the inner voice through whose expression we come into a greater realization of ourselves. It says, judgment is a faculty of the mind that can be exercised in two ways, from sense perception or spiritual understanding. Sense perception's conclusions are fallible and often condemnatory, whereas conclusion based on spiritual understanding is safe. So, judgment is a spiritual tool. There's nothing wrong with judgment. We judge all the time. Do we go this way? Do we go this way? Do we like this color? Do we like this color? This food, that food. Does this feel cool? Does this feel warm? And so on. But as Fillmore says in his writings, Charles Fillmore in his writings, he says, it is not safe to judge except in the absolute. When this is done, the tendency to condemn will grow less and less until man, seeing his fellow man as God sees him, will leave him to the absolute in all cases, even in those that seem unjust. And then he writes about the challenge of judging from the plane of the personal and how this leads to condemnation. And condemnation is often followed by fixing a penalty. He says, we see faults in others and pass judgment upon them without considering motives or circumstance. Our judgment is often biased and prejudiced, yet we do not hesitate to think of some form of punishment to be meted out to the guilty one. But then this is the reminder, he says, whatever you send out will come back to you. This is an unchangeable law of thought action. So, that's where we find a connection with the scripture for today. For with the same judgment that you judge, you will be judged. And with the same measure with which you measure, it will be measured to you. See, all of this is just reaffirming for us how life works. Life is consciousness, and the law of attraction is always at work. So, what does this mean with regard to judgment? We are not separated from any other part of life. Every teaching that I'm aware of teaches us this. We're part of all of life. In more current teachings, such as Unity and Course in Miracles and the Abraham teachings and so on, all of these reaffirm this, that there is no separate you and separate me and separate anything else. It's like we're all parts of a wholeness of life. And so, this means that if we will listen to how we are judging others, we will get a sense of how we are judging ourselves. And when we get a sense of how we're judging ourselves, we will begin to see what we believe, what we really believe about how, in a larger sense, God or the universe is judging us. Does that make sense? It's all interconnected. There is no separate judgment over here that doesn't affect some other aspect. So we are directly connected with the flow of God energy, and our judgments are directly connected with how that flow shows up, as it were, in our lives. In other words, it determines how much of the energy we are allowing ourselves to accept, and it determines also how much resistance is there to block the flow of the good. So I'm not standing up here preaching to you saying that it is bad or wrong or a sin to judge ourselves or judge someone else in limited judgment. I could say that, but why not instead tell you what's working, what's actually happening? What the judgment is, what we are giving God energy to work with. That's it. That's what we're giving it. That's the standard. That's the measure, as it were, that is being offered. The same judgment we use to judge is the same judgment, as it were, we ask life to use to us. The measure we use is the measure we're saying to life, use this in measuring my good back to me. In unity, we remind ourselves often, life is consciousness. And if you've been here once or 100 times, you probably hear us say it every time. One thing this means is the standard we apply to others is the standard we're applying to ourselves, and it's the standard we're, in a sense, forcing life to apply to us. Said another way, the law of attraction is always working, and it's never separated from our judgments, whatever those judgments are. When we aren't looking for and finding the best in someone else, you have anybody you're not looking for and finding the best in? It's a pretty sure bet that you or I are not looking for and finding the best in ourselves. And then we aren't looking for and finding the best in life. And then we think life is judging us and we are coming up short. And so we end up feeling like a victim. Life is unfair when it isn't. It all comes back to us as an individual. So this day of judgment thing that some have thought to be some unknown time in the future, some point when people get judged and they get punished for their sins, you know when that is? That's not someday. That's today. That's every day. That's every moment. We're the ones deciding or judging, and we're having the effect of that. And so I've found empowerment in unity's teaching that we're never punished for our sins, but by them. We're never punished for our mistakes, but by them. In other words, the error contains its own punishment, because when we don't know 2 + 2 = 4, the punishment is not getting the right answer, right? And that's it. It's there. And so it's the way life works. And repentance simply means making a different choice. Making a different choice. Choosing again. Choosing a different direction. And I love the example of the GPS and how there are just 2 points involved, where we are and where we want to be. No questions asked about how you got where you are or why you took so long getting to where you are or anything. It's just where you are and where you want to be. And how beautiful is this for each and every one of us, wherever we are in our life right now, and whatever it is that we feel like is on our plate. Where am I and where do I want to be? And when we are clear on those things, then we give something that the GPS can work on. So when we make a conscious choice to judge differently, choose to see ourselves as we believe our higher self sees us, choose to see others as we believe their higher self must see them, then we're getting ourselves lined up with the kind of results that we want in life. It's principle. It works. Jesus taught, with what measure you measure, it will be measured to you. But we've got the responsibility of deciding, what do we want? You want more joy in your life? Take responsibility for it. Tell the story of it. Look for it. Find it everywhere you can. Want more health, more well-beingness? Tell the cells of your body the story of health and well-being. and anybody else that will listen. Not the story to the opposite. It's like we say, you know, it's not rocket science. Just don't tell the story of what you don't want. It really comes down to that. If you want more abundance, start planting the seeds for that, line the thoughts up with it, tell the story of it. Just stop telling the story.